Amen. That beautiful song, right? Thank y'all for being here, Miss Jan. Did we meet our Lottie Moon goal? Do you know?
You know, I've got to sit down and look at it.
Okay.
I've got to pay my tithes.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Just wanted to check. Thank y'all. Thank you guys for everybody who what y'all do. We really appreciate you guys.
We usually just make the difference up in one and his.
Gotcha.
So our goal was 500.
Yes, ma'am.
We were pretty close.
Pretty close. Well, so back when I coached basketball, I had the chance to, the opportunity to go to a coaching clinic for I try not to idolize people, okay, but I love Coach Billy Donovan when he was a basketball coach at Florida, okay, and people used to pick on me when I coached since I used to wear a shirt and tie. Oh, you just trying to be like Billy Donovan? Well, yeah, kind of, you know, but I went to a coaching clinic. And the second day, I believe, we had the opportunity to go after he talked to us and, you know, gave us some, you know, just kind of taught us for a little while. We got to go to a practice. Okay. And it was pretty cool. And now this was when Florida, okay, I know some of y'all not Gator fans. God bless you. But it was when Florida won back-to-back national titles. So it was in between. I think it was in between championship runs or maybe the one before. I'm not real sure. But it was during that time. And Joakim Noah, some of y'all may remember him, was a really good basketball player, right? And he was older. And they were practicing. And I'm not going to say the name of the other person, but it was a freshman. And he was apparently talking trash, all right? And he did it a couple times. He made a basket, and he talked trash. A little smack talk to Joakim Noah, and man, Coach Donovan stopped the practice. And there's probably 200 coaches, high school coaches, in attendance, and he just ripped into this young man. And he was like, listen, he said, don't talk trash to him, okay, until you've earned it, until you show you can perform at this level. And he's never even played in the game yet. He says, until you do something at this level, keep your mouth shut. And it was like, wow, you know. And so it got me, the old saying, you know, don't talk the talk. What's the rest of it? Unless you can walk the walk. Kind of rings true here. True story for me as well, speaking of basketball, when I moved to Hamlin County, I kind of had this kind of unwritten rule that I didn't really want the guys to talk much trash, okay? I wanted them just to play. But when I could see that there was actually some guys who could back it up, I was like, huh? I might just kind of let that one slide, okay? Because there were some people who could walk the walk. There were some who couldn't. They could talk pretty good, talk a big game, but not really back it up. And so, speaking of our faith, do we talk the talk, or do we walk the walk? And that's kind of the question today. And so, John reaffirms, just kind of like a reminder, because it's been a couple weeks. John, in this letter, is reaffirming the core of Christianity. You had Gnosticism. We'll talk more about that later a little bit. But, some questions going on. And basically, he's saying that we should, as Christians, as believers of Christ, we should exhibit sound doctrine. We should be obedient. We should love. All right. And that those things should characterize Christianity. Okay, us as Christians, that's what our life should look like. And so, I read where the New American Standard Study Bibles wrote this. It said, obedience to Christ's commandments is the down-to-earth test of our faith. This is, you know, very short but very simple and very true. Okay, obedience to the commandments of Christ is the down-to-earth test of our faith. We can talk a big game, but do we walk it out? Do we live it out? Day to day. And so today's central statement is true believers keep God's commands, keep God's word, and walk as Jesus walked. Okay, so the first point today that we'll get into is to keep God's commandments. And so let's read the first two verses of our passage today, which is from 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. So verses 3 and 4 reads this way. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, and yet doesn't keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. that I hope you see the connection there as far as the talking, you know, talking and talking, walking and walking a walk there. Okay, so John, basically, what I like about John and, going through 1 John is that he very much preaches the sermon himself. It preaches itself. I'll add to it as best I can, but it's a simple message, very practical. Definitely something I believe that that's easy to apply to our lives as Christians, and so I appreciate that. And so the first thing that I believe we see here is the word is knowledge. Okay, you see the word know, all right, the fifth word there. This is how we know. So what is the knowledge that is being referred to here by John? Okay, so it's not knowledge about God. Okay. It's not knowledge about God or being able to even recognize his works. It is knowing him personally for oneself. Okay? So speaking back, about Billy Donovan, right? You know, I could tell everybody here that I know Billy Donovan. Okay? I met him. I shook his hand. I asked him about his offensive system somewhat. Just say, are you a big play guy? Do you have a bunch of plays? You know, it's kind of, you know, had about a 3-minute conversation. But do I really know Billy Donovan? I don't. I can't tell you his favorite temperature on a steak. I can't tell you what movie he likes. Okay, what his favorite color is. I can't like Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color? I'm sorry. I still have Elf. I still have Christmas in my mind. Sorry, but I can't tell you that. I can tell you more about Billy Donovan's dad than I can about him. Okay, true story. I actually know his dad pretty well. Every time we played St. Francis, we would sit sit together during a JV game and talk. You know, but I don't know him. But now, do I know my daughters, my wife? Yes. You know, I know that Kaylin is one that's going to speak her mind. Right, I think I got a really appropriate T-shirt for Christmas, and she loves strawberries. And Riley, I have a perfect shirt for her as well. And she is definitely her own person, and she likes peppermint flavored stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Like I know them, right? Easy difference, correct? I know, I don't really know Billy Donovan. I mean, I know about him. Well, Charles Spurgeon says this. Now, it will never save a soul to know about Christ. You can't be saved for knowing about Christ. The only saving knowledge is to know him, his very self, and to trust him, the living Savior, who is now at the right hand of God. Amen? Right? You have to know him. Okay? And again, Buddy the Elf, he says, I know him. Talking about Santa Claus, I know him. I know him. I see. You see, never know how it connects. Okay? There's a common saying that people miss heaven by 18 inches. 18 inches, and that 18 inches, the difference between heaven and hell is a difference for most people from their head to their heart. Okay, we have a head knowledge about God, about Jesus Christ, but we it doesn't transform the way we live our lives, and we just know about him. We don't know him. Okay, old Buddy knows Santa. See, consider Matthew 7 verses 21-23. Some very sobering, very very serious words here from Jesus. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers, you evildoers. It's just a very sobering thought. Examine your heart. Do you know him? Do you know him? Because God wants your heart. And y'all remember back Old Testament times, you had King Saul, right? And the Israelites needed a replacement. And so God told the prophet Samuel to go to old Bethlehem. And there's a man named Jesse there. So go the next king is there, right? And I imagine I would have been very much like Samuel. You know, and as a different people, different sons of Jesse, came before him. He's like, oh yeah, that's certainly him. Yeah, it's definitely Anson. Oh, it's definitely Jimmy. It's definitely Mr. Tommy. It's definitely Mr. Steve. You know, it's definitely him, right? You know, they looked the part and all. And but notice, give you an example of that. Whenever he shows up, he sees David's brother Eliab. All right, he says this in 16 verse 7 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, because David had just, Samuel had just said, certainly the Lord's anointed one is here before him. That's got to be it, right, Mr. Tommy? He looks the part, man. All right. And then it says this, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what's visible, but the Lord sees the heart. And then David was the one that was chosen because David's heart, his heart for God. And so the first little sub point in this is that knowledge, when we speak of knowledge, of knowing, should be personal, right? And secondly, as John Stott established, no religious experience, he said, is valid if it does not have moral consequences. Let me repeat that. No religious experience is valid if it does not have moral consequences. It talking, it's one thing. Walking, it's completely different. Okay? It should lead to obedience. You know, if, you know, the teachers in the room today, all right, a lot of teachers, we can teach our hearts out, do the best we can. But ultimately, our students have to show what they know on a test, right? They have to prove it, right? See, what we know and what we believe should be reflected in our living. Amen? What we know about Jesus and our personal relationship with him, it should be reflected in how we live our lives. Okay? May it not be said about us what Titus said about the Cretans in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Listen to what he says about them. He says, They claim to know God, but they deny him by what? By their works. By the way they live their lives. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good work. There's a lot of other things in there that Titus says about those people in that passage, by the way. But it's a lot. But again, the idea is they deny them by their lives. And the question is simply this, and it's a reflective question for everybody here. Do we do that? Do we deny God by the way we live our lives, by our works? One of my favorite quotes is by a writer, a Christian writer named Brennan Manning. And y'all, I'm sure you've heard this quote before. It's actually quoted in a DC Talk song back in the day. All right, but Brennan Manning famously said, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians." Listen, who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. Okay? Sad but true. See, we must bear some responsibility in the current state of affairs. We can't, like you heard this saying, you can't live like Christians on Wednesday night if we have Wednesday night church at church, and then live like the rest of the world for the rest of the week. Okay? We should be different. It should reflect in our obedience. Okay, and so this idea of obedience. Miss Rhonda, go ahead and go to that. It just has simply the word obedience, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. All right. Yep, there you go. And I saw this say, study released by the University of Southern California indicated that, listen, 1/3 of the medical patients in the country ignore what doctors tell them to do. Did y'all hear that? 1/3. Is anybody part of the 1/3 sometimes? You ever see that with dentistry there, Candace? 1/3. But, you know, that doesn't seem, I mean, it does seem kind of high, but I mean, you know, it does, in a way, it doesn't surprise me, you know. And how do we, again, spiritually speaking, how do we know who true believers are? See, basically, followers of Christ should obey his commands. It's a simple statement, but there's so much truth in that. This is not a situation to where I want you to think that if we mess up and we don't follow his command all the time that we're doomed. No, there's grace for that, right? There's grace. But talking about a pattern. We're talking about a pattern of our lives. Okay, what do we consistently do? As the ESV study Bibles, Bible writer said, obedience to God does not bring justification, but obedience as a pattern of life does give evidence that one has been born again. It does give evidence. To know him, they say, involves a personal relationship that transforms our practical behavior. But this idea, again, this idea is that it should be a pattern for us. And, you know, the Bible, Jesus talks about to recognize them by their fruit. Matthew 7:16-20. Let's read that. It says, you'll recognize them by their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit, right? Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I just love how, like, you ever, like, notice how humorous Jesus can be in some of his writing? You know what I mean? Like, there's little drops, he's just dropping hints, you know, little things every now and then. It's like, he is really getting them, you know. But I mean, like, he's like, duh, grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Like, come on, man. Like, that doesn't happen. In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So you'll recognize them by their fruit. Okay? Jesus kind of comes right out and says that. And this isn't a foreign concept, by the way. It doesn't like, okay, Jesus is bringing in some new thing here. No, this is, he's affirming what was from the beginning in Old Testament times, as even as far back as what that was called the Shema prayer. All right, in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, it was a daily prayer for ancient Israelites and is still recited by Jewish people today, okay, every day. All right, it goes like this, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Okay? And if you love the Lord with all your heart and your soul and your strength, you're going to show that by how you live your life. Amen. So this was understood, again, throughout ancient Judaism. So recall, it's been a while, but John's opponents were called the Gnostics. I'm not going in great detail with them about them, but they claimed that knowledge of God, this what we've been talking about, knowledge of God here, freed men from the obligations of the moral law. So they're like, you know, hey, as long as you know God, you don't really have to, you know, live right. You don't have to be obedient, you know. So completely different. And John is refuting this idea throughout here. So John teaches that loving obedience to God is the only way we have of proving that we know him. Okay? Christians should strive to live differently than the rest of the world. We really should. Okay? I can recall, this is funny how God will do this to you. Like, I forgot, I was teaching in Madison County, little old Lee, all right, and back in 98 to 2000. This is when I met Sally, too, by the way. What? But anyway, amen. But before I met her. But anyway, and I had this little girl, and she was going to my youth group because to this day, I have no idea how I did it all, y'all. Like, I taught, like, not lying, I taught five different subjects. I coached everything. I was the eighth grade sponsor. I was the youth pastor. We met three times a week, youth, all right, for real, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I still have no idea. I had a dog. Like, it's a wonder. Like, it was only by the grace of God. But anyway, and I had this young lady who would come to my youth group, you know, and she would come faithfully. But then she would get in my class, and she would be a turd. I just said turd at a sermon, Mr. Tommy. All right, you can't fire me now, brother. All right, you can, but yeah. All right, but she would misbehave so badly, you know. And she had recently, like, you know, given her life to Christ. And I had eventually to pull that card as a teacher, okay. And I called her outside of my class, misbehaving in my class. And she's in my youth group, you know. And I'm like, you know, this is really not, you're not really being, I'm going to speak to you as your youth pastor for a second, okay? You're not really being a good example to your classmates right now. You're not. Okay? You're just saying, hey, that matter, I can be the, you know, the meanest, ornerous, and, you know, most undisciplined, worst student here, all right? That's what you're saying, all right? Like, no, you should be different, okay? It should be obvious to people there, but what you believe. So again, it reminds me of this another quote that I'm sure you guys know, 15 verse 22. It says, "Then Samuel said, 'Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord?'" He said, "Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams." Obey. We should, as Christians, we should be obedient. If we love God, we will keep his commands. Another one, I'm thinking back, man, all these former students and all, but Sally, you remember Charlie Brown? She knew where I was going. We had a young man in Bradford County High School. He was in our youth group, and we taught him. His name was Charlie Brown, and every time he introduced himself to you, he'd say, "Hey, Anson, nice to meet you. My name is..." He wouldn't say Charlie. He would say Charlie Brown. He embraced the fact that his name was Charlie Brown. Love that kid, man. Doing great with the family, doing great. But anyway, we used to do some memory verses. This is the one he knew. He knew John 14:15. "If you love me, you will keep my commands." short, but he knew that one. He said, I got one, Pastor Coach Murphy, I got one. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He knew that one, all right? But it's very true. If you love me, you will keep my commands. John 15:10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, remain in his love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer states, only he who believes is obedient. Only he who is obedient believes. We should believe and we should be obedient. My next little section, I think it's up there, Miss Rhonda. I entitled it one I'm sure some of y'all will love. Liar, liar, pants on fire. All right? It says real simple. John 8:44 says this. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. You are of your father the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and father of lies. And it says there, it's not up there, Miss Rhonda, but in 1 John 2:4, the one who says, I have come to know him, yet doesn't keep his commands, is what? Is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Look, we as Christians will never be perfect, okay? This is true. I like how John Calvin puts it. He says this, he does not mean that those who wholly satisfy the law will keep his commandments, and no such instance can be found in the world, but those who strive according to the capacity of human infirmity to form their life in obedience to God. It's a pattern of our lives. It is a striving, okay, a desire to want to follow the commands of God. Amen. So true believers, true Christianity, true believers will keep God's commands. They will keep God's word and they'll walk as Jesus walked. Number two, keep God's word. It says the very first part of verse 5, but whoever keeps his word truly in him, the love of God is made complete. So again, we see this idea of obedience. Aaron Rodgers, some of y'all may know Aaron Rodgers. He's a preacher, I think, in Australia. Is that right? I'm not mistaken. He has these little quotes people call Rogerisms. But he says this, study the Bible to know about God. Obey the Bible to really know God. I'll say that again. Study the Bible to know about God. Obey the Bible to really know God. So again, I agree with the many theologians who actually don't separate the idea of God's commands and God's word. And I didn't either because I made it the second point. Okay, but I agree with them. I'm not going to add a whole lot more. It's just be a shorter point. But I do think that this idea of word is a little bit different than commands. I feel like the word contains the commands and everything else. I feel like it is an expansion of it. It's more. It's greater. It's bigger. Okay. Rather than simply referring to specific commands in the Bible, John is including God's whole revealed will, the whole Word of God, right, from front to back. See, John 14:23, it says this. Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." He will keep my word. He uses the word instead of commandments there. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And then I know some of you have this verse memorized. If you don't, you should. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Some of y'all may have learned it in the King James. Right? That word is a lamp to my feet and a light into my path. How do we let the word light our path if we don't read it? Right? I mean, that's something that's just, you know, I feel the same way sometimes. It's like my students who just don't get it. Miss Donna, you ever have students like that? You know, yeah. You keep, why can't I just like drill a hole in your head and pop it in and close it up? You know what I mean? Like, but it's in a way I feel this way sometimes, and not for you guys, but definitely you guys. I feel like there are Christians in our world who. They don't know God like they should. They don't know. It's hard for them to practice keeping God's commands and His words because they never read it, you know. And so I do want to say that. I do want to add that you know, if you ever have any questions or you know, text me if you have, you know, or call me or speak to me sometime, and I can give you some. There's all sorts of ideas for plans, Bible reading plans. If you're more like me. Okay, and you're a list person. I told Sally, I said, I'm going to do something different this year, you know, because I try to read through the Bible every year. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do something different. I'm back like end of December. I'm going to do something different next year. What am I doing? another one. And I'm doing just a different form of a Bible reading program. It's a 5-day program. I like it. I like it. It gives me 2 days off. All right. Or not 2 days off, but gives me some freedom there to get caught up or, you know, to do something different. But if you're somebody who likes lists, just look them up, guys. It's Google them. It's not hard. Okay. Get the Bible app. And there's all sorts of reading plans there. Or go slowly and just pick a book, you know. And read through it. Read the Psalms. Use the Psalms as a guide to your prayer, guys. Seriously, if you've never tried that, try. Okay, just pick a psalm, just read it, and let that be your cry. Let that be your song to God, and you pray through it. Okay. So, again, if we are obedient to the whole counsel of God, we will be what James calls doers of the word. Doers of the word. It says in James 1:22-25. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Oh, yeah, is it okay if I go a little bit longer today? All right. Don't say anything, Jimmy. Okay. But sorry, you were here last week. I had to pick on my nephews instead of you last week, man. All right. Amen. Boy, they took all the brunt of it, buddy. All right. James 1:22-25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Okay. And I'm going to let you, if you want to read this, the rest of it, that's fine. But that was really the main thing I wanted to bring out there. And so then this next idea, so obedience, okay, but whoever keeps his word truly in him, the love of God is made complete. So now I want to look at this idea of complete. No, it's maybe not what you think it means. Some other versions use the word perfect, and I don't personally really like that word either. I like the word mature. Okay. So if you do a little search there, you'll learn that it could be a meaning of that word, and that's the one I prefer here. Okay. So one of the things that most drives me crazy, and I hear some amen from the teachers on this one, is the immaturity of my students. Let me hear it. Amen. Okay. All right. And some of y'all watching it, sorry, love you, but it's true. Okay. The immaturity drives me crazy. Okay. Adults are no different, right? All you got to do is look in the Bible. I have just two different churches, a church in Ephesus and a church in Corinth. And just listen to what Paul says to the people there. Look in Ephesians 4:13-16. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with a stature measured by Christ's fullness, then we will no longer be little children. See, he's talking to them like, well, we won't act like little children anymore. Okay, where we are tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. You know, we even see that today. One little person, they come and they post something on Facebook or whatever, and man, you know, it ain't even completely against the Word of God, but we're going to run with it because it sounds fun. All right, it sounds good, right? Okay, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way unto him who is the head, Christ. From him the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body for building itself up in love by the proper working of each individual part. And that's a whole other sermon than just the building of the body of the church of God. Okay? And then also to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 3. For my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people. Ooh, that's pretty strong words by Paul. Can't really talk to you guys as spiritual people, all right? But as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ, he called the congregation babies. Okay, let me try that next week. I'm just playing, all right, because it's not true. But he said, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not yet ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready because you are still worldly. For since there is envy and strife among you, are you not worldly and behaving like mere humans? But again, this idea of maturity. Obedience to God's word is proof of our love for him. As Warren Wiersbe said, I love this, guys. I can't take any credit, but I was like, dude, this is phenomenal. Okay, but Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorites, he said there are three motivations for obedience. Okay, so stay with me for just a moment. Okay, he says we can obey, number one, because we have to. Okay. That's like a slave, right? Number two, because we need to. Think of like an employee. Okay? I need to do it. I need to get paid, right? And get that check. Okay? Or because we want to. Okay? And as I read a few minutes ago, John 14:15, Charlie Brown, right? His favorite verse, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. I also agree that with Wiersbe, who said that this was the way we learned obedience when we were growing up. Think about it. I can't take any credit for it, but I just love it. It says, he goes on to say, we first obeyed, why? Because we had to, right? Because we might be spanked. I don't know about you guys in your house, but I know what happened in mine. All right? Okay? There wasn't no, you know, spear in the rod there. All right? But a switch or something, or a paddle or something. Okay? Or a bare hand. It says, then we obeyed because we learned that obedience meant enjoyment or reward. So we started obeying because it met certain needs in our lives. Right? So again, we have a have to. We have a need to. And then we have a want to. Because he goes on to say it was a mark of real maturity for us whenever we started obeying because of love. Just to love our parents. We just want to do what they tell us to do. Right? And I got to think about my students, and I don't belabor that because I've done this already, but I definitely see that throughout the year. I bet y'all see the same thing. I see that process of where they have to, and then they need to. It might make their grades might be higher or something, okay? And then it's because they want to. All right, they actually like you. They actually like the teacher. They love you. They want to please you. All right, that's when you know you have them, right? So I think that's very, very interesting. He goes on to say that baby Christians must constantly be warned or rewarded, but mature Christians listen to and obey God's word simply because they love them. Amen? So let's go ahead and go to that last point, okay? So true believers keep God's commands, keep God's word, and walk as Jesus walked. Anybody remember? I'm dating myself here, but the 80s. You know, walk like an Egyptian, right? Dun, 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 dun. I'm not going to do the whole song, but it was a song. Okay, look it up later if you don't know. All right, well, we need to walk like a Jew. All right, his name is Jesus. Okay, let's read the second part of verse 5 and then verse 6 and 1 John 2, and we'll be very close to being done here, y'all, I promise. It says, this is how we are. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. And the word that I like there is remain. Remain. Another version uses the word abide, which I kind of prefer. Okay, abide. To be with, to be close with. I believe that we, as Christians, have to do that first. Right? That's why, you know, have your time with God whenever is best for you. I encourage you to do it in the morning. Okay? It says in the word about going out in the morning and doing that. So I think abiding first before you even start your day is a really good idea. But again, I believe that we have to abide before we can walk like him. Read with me John 15, 4 through 8. Again, John speaking, okay, very similar to 1 John. You can tell it's the same writer. He says, remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce, of course, this is Jesus speaking, but just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produce much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them in the fire, they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And then also 1 Peter 2:21, for you are called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should walk in his steps. We should walk like Christ. Now that's tough, right? Anybody remember walking like in their like dad's like footprints in like the mud or sand growing up? Anybody? I'm not the only one, right? I remember trying to do that like out in the field, and I was like, I couldn't hardly, my feet didn't quite, my feet easily went in it, but I just had to like get there first because it was, it was hard, right? Because I could hardly make barely make those strides, and the footprints were way too big. But here's the thing, we can't literally walk in the same way as Jesus because that way took him to the cross, okay? And that was a one-time thing that is not repeatable, okay? So we follow the way he lived his life and his commandments and his words, right? We do that, right? But that going all the way to the cross, right? That Jesus did that once for all. The ESV Study Bible says, a writer says, but we can mirror his faith, love, piety, obedience, and self-sacrifice. And this pattern of life will give greater assurance that we are in him. We can do our best to follow him. Matthew 16, verse 24 says, then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And if that feels overwhelming, right, realize that a bunch of old dirty fishermen did it. Right, Brother Tommy? Okay. You can see that there in Mark chapter 1 and other passages in the Bible, there in the New Testament. You can see the calling of the disciples. Let's just read this one here. It says, as he passed alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, cast a net to the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. It's one of the most, to me, more underrated, like, you know, scriptures or verses in the Bible. Immediately they left everything that they knew. Right, everything they knew was going to give them comfort and assurance or security, and they followed Jesus immediately. Mr. Tommy, immediately going on a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, putting their nets in order. Again, immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in a boat with the hired men and followed him. So I wanted to just make sure we're clear there that this isn't some pie in the sky, some pipe dream idea. It's, if a bunch of fishermen can do it, we can too. Amen. We can do it. So true believers, keep God's commands, keep God's words, and walk as Jesus walked. And as I asked the ladies come up as we close, I had this thought as I was preparing this, is that the world is dying to see true Christianity lived out before them. I believe that's a true statement. Okay, your fellow coworkers are watching you. They really are. Your students, you tell them you're a Christian at the beginning of the year, you better make sure. I do it every year, and that's why I have to apologize a lot. Sorry again, I messed up. Sorry for ripping those papers up and throwing it. I should have done that. All right, but you have to, you know, exhibit your obedience to God in front of them. See, we'll never be able to do these things perfectly. Again, it should be a pattern. I want to make sure we're clear on that. It's a pattern in our lives, okay? It goes back to our hearts. Do we desire? I just really, really think that's important, that if it's a desire for us, that's a good sign. If not, you need to question it, okay? It should be a desire. And yes, we're going to mess up, but there's grace, amen? There's grace. There's grace upon grace. As followers of God, we should want to please Him. And I want to then answer the question why by just reading the lyrics of a very popular hymn that I think is appropriate for this morning. It says, I gave my life for thee, right? Y'all, some of y'all know these words. My precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom be and raise up from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? So if you have never placed your faith in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, I pray that you'll do that today. And those of us in the room who have made that decision, may we be following and walking in His footsteps every day. Amen. Right, obeying His commands, obeying His word. All right. So y'all, as Sally comes and leads us here.